For our scripture reading this evening, let's open our Bibles to the 11th chapter of Acts. We'll be reading verses 19 through 26. Again, Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for the whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch.
The songs that we've been singing this evening, the scripture reading that we just had, go to show a lot about the character and the motivations that we should have in teaching others about Jesus. One of the phrases that was brought up in Acts chapter 11 in the reading said that when the men from Cyprus and Cyrene came to Antioch, they preached the Lord Jesus to the people there. And as we continued reading throughout that, we see the effect that that had on the people. That a great many in Antioch believed in the Lord and were added to the church. This lesson kind of continues along the same lines as a point that was brought up in last week's lesson. Last Sunday morning, we had a lesson on what hinders me from being baptized. And one of the points that Mickey brought up, it says, when I am ready to be baptized, he says that when I understand Jesus, there's a lot that's involved in preaching the Lord Jesus and understanding the things about Jesus that we ought to, that would lead us, as those in Antioch, to be baptized. As we see also in Acts chapter 8, those that, when Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian, it said that he preached Jesus to him. There were certain things that he spoke to the Ethiopian there that led him to understand the things that he needed to about Jesus in order to be saved from his sins, to have the salvation that's promised through the Lord as well. So I'd like for us this evening to take a few moments and understand what it is to preach the Lord Jesus. Now, this isn't extensive, but it covers many of the points that we can see throughout the book of Acts especially. I'd like for us to notice that when we're preaching the Lord Jesus, that one of the things that is mentioned quite often through the scriptures is that he is the Christ of prophecy. That all the prophecies of the Old Testament that pointed to the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled while he was here in this life. And that one of the things that we can learn a lot from the Gospels when we're teaching and preaching the Lord Jesus is to understand the power that he had while here on earth and that he's always had throughout time. And also it involves preaching and teaching about Jesus' parables and the other things that Jesus taught as well. Again, over in Acts chapter 8 and beginning in verse 32 through 44, see that when Philip met the Ethiopian treasurer on his way, it said that he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and beginning from that scripture, Philip preached Jesus to him, beginning from the scripture of a prophecy in the book of Isaiah about the coming Messiah. Philip began there and showed how Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, and he continued to preach Jesus to him. And again, over in John chapter 1, John begins the gospel of Jesus that he's recorded by referring to him constantly as the Word. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." And again, down in verse 14, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John is here showing from the very beginning of his writings how the Old Testament, the words of the prophecies, were fulfilled in Jesus. The Word here is repeated again and again through this opening section of John chapter 1. He shows, refers back to Jesus, the things that he possessed, the things that he did throughout all of time. And again, over in Matthew chapter 11, there were many things in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled while he was here on this earth. And while John the Baptizer was shut up in prison, we see that he sent some of his disciples to Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 11, they asked him, John had sent them to ask Jesus whether he was the Messiah, the coming one that they were looking for. And Jesus' response is a quote from the Old Testament, a quote showing what the Messiah would do. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." This, Jesus is showing, is fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6, where it begins, "Your God will come with vengeance," as he says. "Be strong and fear not, for your God will come with vengeance, and the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as the deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." That's Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6. And again, over in Acts chapter 2, while Peter was preaching to those that were gathered there in the city of Jerusalem, he began that lesson by showing again and again how Jesus fulfilled prophecies that were that the people understood to be about the Messiah. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, he says, "This Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put to death." For just a moment, I'd like for us to consider what the word "attested" there means. "Attested" says to certify as genuine by signing as a witness. So he says that Jesus was certified as being genuine. He was complete, showed that he was the true product, if you will, that Jesus was the true Messiah, certified by the signs and miracles and wonders that were done through him. That was the purpose of all those. We also see that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy that was done, that was recorded about him, as we'll read a little bit later as well. But we see that in his death, as Peter just told them, that they had put to death, crucified and put to death, this man Jesus. That was a fulfillment of the prophecy, as we read many times before partaking of the Lord's Supper in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 12. You have the time later on to read through that. You'll see the things that Isaiah had recorded there through inspiration of the Spirit. Jesus suffered during his last days in this life. While he was hanging from the cross, many of the gruesome things that Isaiah said would happen to the Messiah happened to Jesus during his death. And in John chapter 19, in verse 30, Jesus says, "It is finished." Speaking of all the things that were written and prophesied about the Messiah, Jesus said he had completed it all, and then he was able to die after completing everything that was written about him. And John again affirms this, John chapter 19, verse 24. John 19, beginning in verse 24, says, "They said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Verse 36, John continues and says, "For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, Not one of his bones shall be broken." And 37, and again, another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." So again and again, John points out that the things that happened to Jesus and the things that he had recorded here about him in his book were recorded so that we might see how the scripture was fulfilled that prophesied about Jesus and prophesied about the Messiah and the Christ to do these things. And again, over in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 34, as Jesus is hanging and suffering on the cross, he cries out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And again, points back to another prophecy in Psalm chapter 22. The 22nd Psalm, David recorded these same words and continues to go on as similar language as Isaiah 53 to show the things that the Messiah, the Christ, would suffer at the hands of men. And even at his death, Jesus cries this quotation out as he's suffering the very things that were prophesied of the Christ. So when we're teaching the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that an important part of that is to show the things that he suffered and how he fulfilled so many of the prophecies. So there's many proofs and facts and things to go through that we can show the accuracy of the scriptures, the ways that it was preserved, and the way that it's been shown to be faithful accounts of history, and the things that happened in it can be shown to be true. We can show that the scripture is accurate in all the things that it was recorded. Then we can also show clearly how Jesus' fulfillment of these things is a great testament to the fact that he is the Christ. And again, over in Acts chapter 2, I'd like for us to take a moment and understand the things that Peter quoted and that David prophesied about the Christ. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 27, David prophesied and Peter quotes, saying, "For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And Peter continues this in verse 29, says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." So again, Peter uses scripture here and the prophecies from David to show that this Jesus, the one that these people in Jerusalem had seen perform miracles, had heard stories told about him, had been there while he was teaching, the same Jesus was the one that was prophesied to be the Christ. Another point for us to understand, and that we teach when we're teaching the Lord Jesus, is to show that this is the Jesus of power, the things that he was able to accomplish while he was here in this life. Over in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 23, Jesus has been questioned again and again about who he is and what authority he has to do the things that he is doing. And when he's being questioned about how he's able to cast out a demon, how he's able to heal those that are demon-possessed, this is his response. Beginning in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 12, it says, "And all the multitudes were amazed and said, Could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." So again, Jesus is stating where his authority comes from, and where he's authorized to do and perform these things, and where his power is coming from. The book of Mark is impressive. As we look through it, we see that the first 10 chapters are dedicated almost entirely to describing the power of Jesus. When we look through Mark chapter 1 through 10, there are at least 19 miracles. Perhaps I've miscounted somewhere. There's at least 19 miracles that Mark records that Jesus performed while on this earth. Here are just a few of them. Perhaps, again, I've missed a few and we won't go through all of them. But we see that Jesus was able to feed multitudes with little food. He walked on the sea. He calms the sea multiple times. He's able to cast out unclean spirits. He heals many people, many sick and many demon-possessed. He's able to heal the lame. He's able to heal multitudes of people at one time. He's able to raise some from the dead as well. He's able to allow the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And the blind to see as well. But as we look through the book of Mark, it's a wonderful testament to truly show the power that Jesus has. And again, also looking over in John chapter 11, we again see another story of the power of Jesus that's not recorded in the book of Mark. But in John chapter 11, verses 11 through 45, we read the story of where Lazarus, one of Jesus' dear friends upon this earth, had died. And yet, when Jesus came, even 3 days later after his death, there was no doubt that this man had been dead for 3 days. When Jesus came to him, he was able to raise him from the dead, clearly showing the power of God working through him. And it was even to the point where the Jews that didn't want to believe in Jesus, didn't want to believe that he was sent from God, that they were even willing to kill Lazarus because there was no way to deny the fact that this man was dead and had been raised again. That's great power. The power of God is clearly shown there. And yet they weren't able to deny it. They were even willing to kill Lazarus again in order to try to stifle all of these things that were said about Jesus and the proof that this showed of his deity. And in John, again, it's impressive. In John chapter 21, but throughout the book, John records many things, but in John chapter 21, he tells us the reason why he recorded the things that he did. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 25, it says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." And this is written by one of the men who spent years following Jesus, watching all of the things that he did, hearing the things that he had spoken, seeing all of the multitude of miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus performed. He says that, "I've written just a few of them, yet even the whole world perhaps could not contain the books that could be written of the things that he accomplished while in this life." I'd like for us again to turn over to John chapter 14. And again, this shows why these things were written for us. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and doest thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Again, here he is, even teaching his disciples. He says, you should be able to see the Father through the things that you see in me. And at the very end, the last verse, in verse 11 there, he says, "Or else believe me for the very work's sake." He says, "Philip, you look at all the things that you've seen me do, and understand that I do these things by the power of the Father that's in him." We can see the authority and the power that Jesus had while in this life again. And John again verifies the things that he had written. In John chapter 19 and verse 35, he says, "And he who has seen has testified," this is John speaking of himself, "and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe." When we're preaching the Lord Jesus to someone, Isn't it important for them to understand the things that he was capable and able to do? Through the actions, the miracles that he performed, he showed that he came to do the work of the Father. He came to do, to show that he was fulfilling these prophecies, even the things that he was able to accomplish when John the Baptizer had sent to him and asked, "Are you the Christ, or do we seek another?" He showed through the things that he was able to accomplish, the power that he had in this life, that yes, he is the Christ. And even through his raising of Lazarus from the dead, he shows that he had power over death, even in this life. And that adds even to the credibility of the claims that he is able to raise us from the dead when he promises us a new life with him, that after this life is over, we can enjoy a new life with him. If he had power over death in this life while he was here, certainly he also has power over death in the time to come. Next for us to consider, when we're teaching someone about the Lord Jesus, a lot of the time spent, Jesus spent teaching certain things. And he spoke and taught in parables and in different ways. But one of the important ways that we can teach someone about Jesus is to teach them the same things that he taught as well. We see that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and through 29, after what we commonly refer to as his Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished at the things that Jesus had taught. Beginning in verse 28, it says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." The scribes could read the Old Testament to the people. They could read the Law and the Prophets to those that were willing to listen. But yet, they didn't teach with authority as Jesus did. Jesus commonly said, "This is what you have read. This is what the Law says. But I say unto you," time and time again throughout Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, Jesus said, "But I say unto you." He taught as one having authority. And he showed again and again where his authority came from. But it was much different than what man can show as well. And also, in Jesus' teaching, he spoke commonly of the kingdom of God in his parables. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 52, pretty much the entire chapter, Jesus is teaching again and again things concerning the kingdom of God. We have there the parable of the sower and the seed, the parable of the tares and of the mustard seed and of the leaven. He compares the kingdom of God to a treasure hidden in a field or a pearl of great price or a dragnet cast into the sea. Again and again, Jesus spent time to teach others about the kingdom of God. We're teaching those that we come in contact with about Jesus. It's important that we also teach the same things that he taught as well. It's important for them to understand the things concerning the kingdom of heaven, just as Jesus taught it. And again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, even after his resurrection, Jesus spent time teaching and explaining things concerning the kingdom of God to the apostles. And again in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, when Philip went to Samaria, it says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." So Philip went about teaching the same things that Jesus did. He taught them about Jesus, taught them why they should have faith and put their faith and trust in him, the power that he had in this life. He showed the things that Jesus was able to do. And he also taught them the same things that Jesus taught about the kingdom of God and the entrance into it thereby. And thus, when they believed Philip, as he preached those things concerning the kingdom of God and those things concerning Jesus Christ, they believed and they were both baptized as well. And Jesus, in his last days and time with the apostles, gave them what we can refer to as the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, he says unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who believeth not will be condemned." The same words that Jesus taught are the same things that Philip and the apostles and the disciples taught when they went about. The same things that those that were in Antioch, when those men from Cyprus and Cyrene came and taught those in Antioch, as was read in Acts 11. The same things that Jesus taught them here
that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. They taught those same people the same message when they taught them the things concerning Jesus. And we see the effect that it had of those on Antioch, those in the city of Jerusalem, and on the Ethiopian treasurer, as Philip taught the same thing to him. And it's important for us to note that Jesus affirms in John chapter 12 that he's not making something up, but that he's speaking the words of God when he was speaking these things. John chapter 12, beginning verse 44, says, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." In verse 49 it says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." When Jesus gave a command, it wasn't just a man's authority speaking it. It's the authority of God behind it. In John chapter 20, again, in John chapter 20, let's turn over and read that. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, as we had just understood the things that Philip was speaking to him, he says, when Philip had asked him, in John chapter 20, in verse 24, as Philip had been doubting and said, "Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." After his resurrection, Thomas, one of the other who had been with him constantly, also doubted his resurrection. In John chapter 20, and verse 24, it says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." How impressive that is. Here we have one who had spent so much time with Jesus, and yet even his close companions, the other 11 or the other 10, had come to him and told him the things that they had seen the resurrection of Jesus, yet he still didn't believe until he said he could physically touch him, put his hands in his side to feel the body that was slain, that he had seen hung on the cross. He would not believe. And here he was, because he had seen those things, Thomas believed. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, how can they believe unless they have the Lord Jesus preached unto them? If you've never heard the things preached about Jesus, then how can you believe that he is the resurrected Christ? How can you believe the things that were prophesied about him, that God had said throughout all of history and revealed through the prophets, that when the Christ came, he would be able to perform certain things to show that he was the Christ that they were expecting? If you've never heard about Jesus, never had Christ preached to you or learned of him, how can you believe? And as Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 10, how can you believe unless they have heard? And how can they hear unless one preaches to them? How important it is that we ourselves understand what it is to preach the Lord Jesus to someone else. We need to clearly understand what it entails, the things that someone needs to understand and to know. If Philip didn't know the things concerning Jesus when he had encountered the Ethiopian treasurer, would he have been able to start from the scripture in Isaiah and preach to him and help him to understand how the prophecy in Isaiah related to this man Jesus, how that showed that he was the Christ, and showed the other things that Jesus had taught and commanded of those? And again, in John chapter 20 and verse 30, all the things that we can read through the Gospels, John records, he says, "That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." How important it is that we understand the things that are entailed in preaching the Lord Jesus. And again, over in Acts chapter 11, as we started this lesson and was read to us earlier, it says, when they had come to Antioch, these men of Cyprus and Cyrene, they spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And again in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 12, speaking of those in Samaria, when Philip came to Samaria, it says that he preached the name of Jesus the Christ, and both men and women were baptized. And again in Acts chapter 8, as we've referenced again in verses 35 through 39, it says that Philip preached Jesus to him, and the end result of that was the Ethiopian asked, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And he understood and he confessed his faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And they both went down to the water, and the end effect was that he baptized him, and that the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing, having his sins washed away. And again, over in Acts chapter 16 as well, in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 30, this is the account of the Philippian jailer while Paul and Silas are in a jail in the city of Philippi. The gates are open, and the Philippian jailer is about to take his life, and Paul and Silas stop his hand from killing himself. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, at this point, he didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus. He had heard these two men perhaps singing and praying while they were in prison. But what else would he, this man in Philippi, so far removed from the lands of Judea and Jerusalem where Jesus had spent his time, how would he have known much else about this man Jesus? But yet, here Paul tells him, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, you and your household. Something else was necessary after that statement. He continues on, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized." Do we see the effect that can come when we preach the Lord Jesus to those that need to hear it? Do we see the things that are necessary behind it as well? We see the effect of preaching the Lord Jesus through these examples in Acts clearly. Preaching the Lord Jesus involves giving a clear understanding of who He is, being able to understand how He fulfilled all the prophecies concerning the coming Christ. As John chapter 19, verse 30 said, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He had fulfilled all of those things that were required of him to show that he was the Christ that was prophesied of. When we preach the Lord Jesus, we can show that he is the Son of God that came with power and authority through the things that he sought, through the things that he was able to do, the things that he taught, the things that he taught concerning the kingdom, and all that came about concerning him. We see as well that he spoke the words of God. And those words, the words of encouragement, those words that, as he repeated in Mark chapter 16, he says, "He that believes in me and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not will be condemned." Those are the words of God, words spoken with authority. And it's important for us to understand all of these things as well. So that's our lesson for this evening. What it is to preach the Lord Jesus to those who have never heard anything concerning the Lord Jesus. It's important for us to understand these things because, as we talked about last week, it's one of those things that would hinder us from being baptized. If you're not baptized and you've not had your sins washed away, you've not been forgiven of your sins, you cannot walk in the newness of life with Christ until you've had your sins washed away and been buried with Him in baptism to accomplish this. It's a very important thing for us to understand. So, it's one of those things that we need to continue to study, to improve upon, and to know so well that we can teach others these things concerning Jesus as well. Perhaps there are some here in the assembly tonight who have not been baptized, who have not repented of your sins, confessed the name of the Lord, and had your sins washed away. If that's your needs this evening, as you've heard the things concerning Jesus proclaimed to you, you understand who He is and what He's able to do, and you have that opportunity to enter into that new life with us as well tonight. Or perhaps there are some here who need the prayers and the encouragement of your brethren. If we can assist you in any way, we ask that you let that be known as we now stand and sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.